Hi there, I'm David, and I'm here with Carrie from Montebello Dental Clinic. Hey, Carrie.
Hi.
How's it going today?
Pretty good. It's a snowy day, so it's going to be a slow day.
Yeah, thanks for making it into the studio. We're usually out and about visiting, but you're kind enough to come visit us, so that's great. Happy to have you here today. So you work at Montebello Dental Clinic?
Yes, Montebello Dental Clinic, right downtown.
What do you do there? What's your position there?
My position at Montebello is a little bit different than most. I am a dental hygienist. I'm a registered dental hygienist, and I am the dental hygienist for Montebello as well. I'm also the practice manager, so that's a role that's not always traditionally done by dental hygienists, but in our clinic, we find that it works really well.
And what does that role entail?
The practice manager basically just makes sure that the practice runs smoothly. I deal a lot with the patients. I deal a lot with the everyday keeping things flowing, making sure that we have our patients are happy and that the treatment is being explained to the patients properly and booked properly. I just basically kind of oversee the whole office.
Right. So you're basically the boss.
Sort of, yeah. On the day-to-day, for sure.
That's a lot of responsibility.
I've always liked to be very busy. I've owned my own businesses in the past and been very successful with those. I've been in a management leadership role in most of my positions throughout my career, starting even back in nursing. I've kind of always been comfortable in that leadership role and just being able to see things that, you know, kind of see the big picture for a business and just help them where they need to be helped.
Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of experience with running a business and, of course, this.
Yes, I've been in dentistry for 15 years. I've been a dental hygienist for 13. My background was in healthcare before as well. I started off as a licensed practical nurse back in Alberta in my early 20s. And I took a little hiatus and started a business with an ex-partner. I was actually a surf shop in the prairies. We primarily dealt with wind sports, but I was quite successful there. But I still had this desire, this need to help people. Even though my success was there, I felt like I wasn't fulfilling what I was meant to do.
So operating a surf shop on the prairies, you know about risks of running a business then?
Absolutely. It was... We actually bought it from a well-established gentleman. He was one of the people that had started the very first skate and snowboard shop, ski shop in Edmonton. So we were kind of working off his reputation, which he had an excellent reputation. So we kind of took off where he left off. And we actually used to host the Volkswagen show in Edmonton. We were quite famous for that. And primarily our goal was, you know, windsurfing, and kiteboarding was just coming onto the scene at that time. We also were a major participant in the longboard phase and craze that came to North America. So we kind of saw that coming down the turnpike. My ex-partner was really blessed with the IT type background. And he was the one that saw that businesses were going to be going online. He saw that. He had that vision. And he said, you know, like, we're going to reach more people if we can build up our website and make it so that people can actually purchase from us. And that's really where our success came from, honestly, was selling longboards across Canada. Nelson, BC being one of our biggest sellers.
Wow. Do you ever make it to Nelson?
I have not been to Nelson, BC since I was a girl. I have not been to the Kootenays. It's definitely on my bucket list now that I live a heck of a lot closer.
What about ocean surf? Do you ever go to Tofino or anything like that?
I surfed once in Tofino, and that was actually one of the last places I ever surfed in my lifetime.
I lived on Vancouver Island for just over 20 years and never made it to Tofino, ever.
Yeah, I went to Tofino. I went to White Rock once when I was quite young, and then the only time I've ever been to Tofino was actually to surf.
Right. You mentioned how an online presence is integral to a success of a business.
Even in dentistry, it's a new game. It really is. Like the older clinics, like the clinics that are now being bought out by the corporations, you can tell their online presence and their websites, their media presence is large. Because these guys know they have marketing and advertising teams, huge, huge, deep pockets. And they can tell where these businesses are successful. And the little guys, it's a lot harder for us, right? Because, you know, sometimes you're owned by older practitioners that don't see the new wave of business. Even some of the younger guys, it's hard to convince them that this is, you know, somewhere they want to invest their dollars in, because a lot of these guys can't see the return. Whereas I see every day all the new patients that are coming in, and we're hearing them say, oh yeah, no, we saw you on Google and you came up first for this and you came up first for that. And, you know, trying to relay that to the practice owner and say, like, this is bringing us business, you know, for what we're paying for this is what we're generating. right? It is very difficult to kind of always see where that payback is coming from and just understand that this is a life, like, you know, this is a process. It's not just for right now. These search engines and you coming up in these search engines, this is going to make your business flourish in the future as well.
So that's interesting. Could you talk a little bit more about the, you mentioned like a corporate angle to healthcare now. How is that evolving?
I've always been part of Facebook groups that showcase dental hygienists from the United States, actually all over the country, but mostly primarily United States and Canada. And I was privy to seeing how these dental corps were shaping dentistry in the United States. And I kind of, you know, 10 years ago was able to kind of hear these providers saying, this is ruining dentistry. This is ruining our industry, right? It's becoming a cookie cutter, one size fits all. Every single person gets this. And it's no longer designed towards the patient's actual needs and wants. It's more of a, you know, a push towards what they make their big money in. And it's just, it's like factory settings. And the unfortunate thing is most people don't even realize that their office has been bought out by a dental corp. We're getting to the point even in Salmon Arm where about, you know, 50 to 60% of these once were private dental offices are actually now partially or fully owned by dental corps.
Interesting.
And it will definitely change the face of dentistry. And in my opinion, not for the good.
Mm-hmm. Sign of the times, I guess.
Yeah, well, these guys have deep pockets, right? And it's hard for the little guys to compete and to stay relevant when, you know, we've all just come off of some really hard times in healthcare where, you know, a lot of our expenses have, you know, doubled, tripled, quadrupled. Staffing has gone through the roof, all of these things where we're not able to compensate with raising our fees. So the small private businesses are really suffering. Like we're the ones that are getting hit the hardest because we don't have these deep pockets that some of the other offices that are half owned by these dental corps where, you know, the sky's the limit. So it's becoming more and more difficult to compete with them for sure.
Right. Montebello is a privately owned.
Absolutely. Yep. Very privately owned. It is two owners, Dr. Alam. He's our general dentist. He comes down and visits us from Vancouver and helps us out. We also have another wonderful dentist that does our general dentistry with us, Dr. Pavelescu. And he comes from time to time and stays with us as well. And we also have more of a specialized dentist in our office who does just specifically mostly like extractions, dentures, which is quite uncommon in dental offices, implants, surgeries, and such of those natures. So we're trying to get to the point where we're kind of a one-shop stop. We can satisfy everything in one place for our patients so that we're not having to send them off to Kamloops or Vernon for, you know, certain procedures. We're hoping to get that all in one, under one roof.
What is it about Salmon Arm that draws businesses here?
Well, for me, I actually live in Vernon. I'm originally from Alberta, as I've said. I moved out to BC 9 years ago, and I've always lived in Vernon, and I love living in Vernon. It's a great community to raise your kids, awesome place, but I wanted to work in Salmon Arm. And people ask me this all the time. They're like, why do you want to drive for 45 minutes? And why work in Salmon Arm? Like, is there no dental office? I said, there's plenty of dental offices in Vernon. I said, I like living in Vernon, but I love working in Salmon Arm. People really... it's hard for them to understand that. I was actually talking to my father about this summer. And I said, there's something about small town dentistry, especially when you're in a private office and it's still, you know, we have a wonderful founding father for our practice, great reputation. And it, again, we're still benefiting from his reputation. Small town dentistry is different. You treat your patients differently. Your patients interact with you differently. You feel like you have a genuine connection with your patient. And that's something I've always wanted in my career. It's very important for me to not just treat you. There's this thing, well, you can't be friends with your patients, but you can have a personal relationship with them where there's, you know, I know when my patients come in and I'm like, oh, how was so-and-so's graduation? And how was your trip? You know, you can really connect as humans on a human level. Mm-hmm. With people that are more from smaller communities. They're just more open people. They're just more, I don't want to say friendlier. I just want to say life is different in a small town. You know, most people, they know everybody, right? They care about everybody. You know, people call it, oh, you know, everybody knows your business. But yeah, everybody knows your business. And there are times where, you know, you might not be able to say, I need help, but your neighbors know. And they all come in and they surround you and they give you this community, this love, this thing you can't get in the bigger communities. You just don't. You don't get these in bigger little towns and cities. You need to have these like little tiny places almost stopped in time. And this is where I personally flourish. This is where I want to do business. And I know that the owners of this practice felt the same way. They wanted a slower, quieter pace of life.
What better place to live and have a business than Salmon Arm?
Yeah, most people don't even think about this, but the reality is you spend 80% of your life, really, at your workplace. And if it's not an environment that helps you flourish and helps you grow, then you generally start to become quite unhappy. And I can honestly say that working here in Salmon Arm gives me joy, absolute joy, what I can experience in other offices, because there's just not that connection there, that sense of I'm part of a community. I'm helping these people. These people care about me and I care about them. And I need that. I need that human connection between people. And I think I get that here. Yeah, I'm actually connected to the area as well. I've been coming here since I was a child. I have an aunt that's lived in Salmon Arm since I was very little, and she raised her two daughters here. And I'm very close with my cousin, and it was her love of Salmon Arm that really kind of put it in my head. And an opportunity had come up and I was like, Salmon Arm. I wonder how long, like how big of a drive that is. And I typed it in, I was like 45 minutes. Cause when I first came out here, I actually owned a temp company. That was another one of the businesses I owned. And so I was used to traveling all around, you know, going to West Kelowna, as far as West Kelowna, going as far as Kamloops. And I can honestly say the drive from Vernon to Kelowna or West Kelowna was the most stressful, maybe even more stressful than Edmonton, like driving in rush hour traffic. It was quite comparable. Like it just felt so much angst and anxiety trying to, I get to work and it was like I'd just been in the Indy 500. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all the holiday traffic. I don't know. And it's two lane. So really it doesn't make a lot of sense why there's so much stress and anxiety on that drive when this drive should technically kick up more of that, but really it's just, I find this drive to be so much more peaceful and calming. And it's the beauty that you're surrounded by. It's the pace of the people, I think, that are, you know, in front of you and behind you. And I've never seen this drive as being a stressful drive. Sometimes at night when I'm heading home and it's winter, that, yes, you know, that's just a winter thing. That's just a darkness thing. But the actual drive itself, I absolutely love it. I love that decompression. I love that time to, you know, get ready for my family, because what we do, we take in a lot of other people's energy, their highs, their lows. And when you really do truly love people, it's something you're absorbing as well. And what a lot of us as providers don't give ourselves enough time to decompress before we go into our own family situations. So a lot of times we don't even realize it, but we're carrying in all of this stuff that we brought in from our patients. And a lot of times we find it hard to communicate with our partners because A, you know, confidentiality, B, what we do can be quite not the best thing to talk about, right? And a lot of people, they get queasy. They don't like talking about the dentist. They don't like hearing about these things. So it's hard for us to have this disconnect from our job and not bring it home. You need to decompress. You need that time to just let that go. And so now I find coming home from Salmon Arm, I can get to my kids and I feel like it's just their time. I've had that 45 minutes to an hour to relax and let go of my day and what I heard and saw and dealt with. And because there is a lot of stuff going on with people, and it's not just even just in their life, but even in their mouth. You know, people talk to us all the time and we get calls from people and they're like, you know, this costs so much and nobody will help me. And, you know, where can I go? And I'm on, you know, disability and all these things and these sad stories that come in. And we want to help everybody. We really do. Like, but as a business, you just can't. It's just not in the cards, right? Like we do so much per year in pro bono cases. My office does amazing amounts of work with individuals in the community that we choose that they're longtime patients of ours, whatever. And we do a lot of that work. But there's a lot of, you know, anxiety and angst around dentistry just in general. And then people have these things that are majorly going wrong with their mouths and you want to help them. But, you know, there's just only so much you can do. And that gets taken into you as well. So it's important to find that balance of, you know, being able to disconnect from what you do for a living. And as we were talking about before, I love that I have this connection to this area, you know, that I have family here and that I've seen this town grow. Like I've seen this built. I was talking to a patient this morning about coming out here when I was a kid. And the only thing that was really here, like basically from the Tim Hortons up that hill, there was nothing. Like none of those businesses were there. That was all farms and and backcountry. And it's just, it's so surprising to see how this town has grown. And I love it. I think it's great. I think, you know, it's the right amount of growth for the people and for this town. And I'm excited to see where we go from here.
So there's been a lot of changes, and yet it's still very much the same town as when I grew up.
And that's special. Like that really doesn't happen. Like I'm from Spruce Grove, Alberta, and again, another small town, and it grew so big. But I don't feel like Spruce Grove still has that magic. I feel like Spruce Grove grew and it expanded, and it's almost like a little suburb of Edmonton now. Whereas Salmon Arm still has its own identity. You know, like it's never going to grow into another place. Like we don't have to worry about it growing into Vernon or Enderby. You know, it's always going to be this quaint little cute place kind of cut off from the world. I hope you want that, you know, the business opportunities and the growth. It's this delicate balance of preserving old Salmon Arm while introducing new Salmon Arm.
Right.
And that's something that a lot of places struggle with, you know, all over the world. They struggle with the advancement of their hometown. And, you know, you want to keep it the same. And yet you have to understand that there are things that have to change in order for us to remain a town and successful. There's a perfect example right on the highway. We used to actually park in the old parking lot there right beside the Italian restaurant.
Yeah, the old KFC.
Absolutely. And so whoever owns that building, because it sat vacant the whole time I've worked here, sometime this summer, they came in and swooped in, paint job, kind of renovations, fixed up the parking lot. It's still sitting there empty.
Yeah.
A fully renovated building. So there's definitely a challenge, even here within Salmon Arm. I've, within my time of being here, which is 2 years, have seen businesses come and go quite quickly, you know, change ownership and are struggling. Some businesses flourish. Some businesses just take right off and they have no issues and they're doing great. But it is definitely a delicate balance in every small town like this of how much new influence do we need? How much new renovation do we need compared to how much should we preserve the old? And where do we kind of have that fine balance? Like our downtown core in Salmon Arm is beautiful. It's great. It's very picturesque. Then there are kind of some areas in and around Salmon Arm that don't look as great. You know, the buildings are a little bit different. They're shorter. They're not as pretty. Is there things we could do to spruce those up? Maybe. Maybe that would be great, you know, going and looking at trying to take some of these older buildings that might not be so visually look so good and maybe turn those buildings back into the past. Like having that delicate balance of being able to go around town and people say, oh yeah, there's that beautiful old church and it's great to see that they're still using it as a church or they've converted it to a play school and we have this beautiful architecture still preserved in our town, but we still have that fresh new innovation being brought in as well to give that pump to the community that we need.
So what, in your opinion, can make or break a business in a town like Salmon Arm?
Reputation. Your reputation is everything. Word of mouth spreads like wildfire, and especially when it comes to a bad reputation, right? And it's very hard to come back from that. Reputation is huge in a small community. You really cannot afford to have bad reviews. You can't afford to have people out there not liking you or feeling like you didn't do what they needed you to do. So it's very important to make sure that, you know, I mean, you can do everything in the world for some people and you're still going to have a negative outcome. But just how you handle things and how you approach people and try to, you know, handle difficult situations will really make or break you in a small community for sure.
Not just word of mouth, but we also have the review sites now online.
Absolutely. Yeah. People don't think about that. Those Facebook groups they're powerful. They're mighty. And I think that, you know, when people are upset, a lot of times they don't understand the impact that they can have to a small business. Larger businesses, you know, Walmart, like nobody cares. It doesn't reflect or deflect people the same way as this tiny little business where people can put a personality to it, to actually, you know, put real people involved. And that can actually be detrimental to us because you're not thinking about how much impact that actually has on everybody that works there and that business as a whole.
So we have reputation, word of mouth being very important factor in a success of a business. What other factors are there?
The team, the staff that you employ. In a small business, that's your bread and butter. It really is. And a lot of people don't understand that if you don't treat the people that work for you like you want to be treated, in a market like ours, they're gone. There is no such thing as loyalty any longer. It is very hard to find people that want to put that 110% effort in. So when you find those people, those rare gems, you cherish them. You treat them like your family and you treat them the way you want to be treated. And that's very difficult. It's hard as a manager and an owner to stay connected or disconnect at the right times when it comes to their staff. And it's hard sometimes to see things because on paper things look good. But in reality, the bad feelings that can arise from decisions that were made on paper that looked great. Oh, this is going to save us money. This is great. Nobody's going to complain. Nobody's going to care. But it's something that can seriously impact your staff. And they'll just quit. They're gone. And you're going, what did we do? Like, you know, and then you don't want to see what you did, right? Oh, they just wanted a different opportunity or no, they're going to be treated. They think they're going to be treated better somewhere. So it's really important that once you have a great team that you really focus on them and you nurture them and you make sure that they're okay and that they're happy. Because I was taught from a very young age from an amazing entrepreneur, which was my grandfather, that there was an incident that happened between him and one of his staff. And I said, Grandpa, why are you doing that? You don't have to do that. And he said, this woman has worked with me since I started my company, Carrie. She's going through a really bad time. I don't have to get involved. Of course, you're right. He said, but she's like my family and 100% we're going to help her. And that woman retired with my grandpa and she was the backbone of his company. And she said at his funeral, she said, you know, like this man helped me out of a very dark, bad situation that most people would have turned their back. And she said that made me realize that he cared about me as a person. I wasn't just a number to him. I wasn't just a punch card. I wasn't just a job. I was a human being. And there is nothing in this world that would have torn me away from that company. And it's true. The better you treat the people that work for you, the more successful your business will be. They're happy. They're promoting you out in the community. They're bringing their loved ones to you. Where you're happy, where you feel stable and secure and happy, and you feel like you have the same values and that you're being appreciated, you're going to promote that business better than any advertising dollar, any marketing dollar than you could ever spend. Those people will continually always bring business to you, always. And they'll be your number one supporters out in the community. If they hear something negative about you, they jump in. 100%, those people are what make or break you.
Excellent. As practice manager of the dental clinic, what is the challenge finding that balance between, as you say, what looks good on paper and the effect it might have on your staff?
It's really difficult, to be honest. There are a lot of times where you know that you have to do something that's going to save the company money and keep the doors open and keep everybody employed, but that people are not going to be happy about those decisions. And it takes a tough skin to take that on and to be able to, you know, say to everybody, look, you know what? This is going to hurt a little bit, but long run, we're going to be in business. You know, it's hard for some people to see that. So it takes a lot of talent, I think, to actually play that go-between and be that person that can healthily explain to the staff and to the owner what needs to be done and what we should say no to. You know, like there's things that come up and it's like, you know what? Let's look at all the ramifications for this. There are times where you have to do things where, like I said, you just don't want to do them, but you know that long term, it's going to make sure that everybody has a job. So I would say that is the biggest challenge is sometimes being the boss. Mm-hmm. And having to make the tough decisions and having to explain to everybody why that decision had to be made.
And still keeping a
happy, creative, you know, healthy workflow for
right.
Sure.
And being able to demonstrate empathy and understanding of what these people might be going through instead of just saying,
exactly.
Like, yeah, too bad or whatever.
And I always tell the staff too, like, I think that for me anyways, like most offices I've worked in, it's very rare that you have a provider, especially that isn't in a management position. Usually it's like former CDAs, so assistants to the dentist that will transition to the front, or it's somebody who's been an office admin forever and has moved into the practice manager or office manager position. The challenge as a provider is that you understand what it's like to be these people and how these decisions affect us as employees. So I have this camaraderie with them. And I've said that to my staff. I said, you know, when I go in there and I fight for you, I'm fighting for me too. And I think that there's a better respect and appreciation for the fact that they trust that I'm involved in this as well. What happens to you happens to me. These decisions affect me directly as well. And they know that. They know that I'm also going to be suffering or benefiting from whatever decisions that I make with the owner. There's a lot of disconnect, right, between that top and down here. And so the person that's in the middle and is the go-between can really have a challenge on both ends of it to try to make sure that everybody's happy, that the business stays successful, the doors stay open, the patients are happy, the owners are happy, everybody's making money, including the staff. It's a delicate balance for sure.
Any other thoughts about success in business in a small town such as Salmonorm?
I think getting out in your community and having a presence in your community is really important. I'm a very sociable person, and I like to go and I like to go sit in restaurants around, privately owned restaurants, not big chains. I like to go into places like Weekends and Anvil Coffee House and Night Cafe, you know, these nice, really cool, unique businesses to Salmonorm, and go in there and sit down and just by myself, and people will come and go. Their favorites, their regulars. You talk to some people and you just smile at some people and you start to have this interaction with the town. And it's invigorating to meet these people. And everyone is so friendly. Like for the most part, people are very friendly and excited. And you know, sometimes they're tourists. They're just coming through town. They're like, oh my gosh, this place is so amazing. It's magical. You know, like how does this place still exist? And then you kind of, you live in that moment. And then you have people that have been here their whole life and they want to tell you all their stories. And, oh, you know, where you work, did you know that that used to be the Salmonorm Hotel and it burnt down and all these people died and they say there's ghosts in there. And you learn all of these amazing things about where you work and the people you work with and the businesses that were there before or that you currently still own. And I just feel this connection with people that, again, you just don't even get in. I've worked in Enderby and I still, like, I mean, people are friendly, it's farm people and stuff, and there's still a little bit of that, but there's just something so magical here. And I don't know what it is. And if you could bottle it up, you'd be a billionaire. It's truly a feeling in this community. And I do, I love going out there and spreading the word and learning about other businesses and supporting them, because that's what's important about small business. If we don't want these large corporations to take over our dental practices, our restaurants, our shopping experiences, we have to fight back. We need to support each other. It's not just one of us, we're all together. And it's a mentality. We really need to stick together. Like these privately owned businesses of Salmonorm, we need to stay like a fabric, you know, we have to stay together and we have to help each other. So, you know, there's a lot of businesses in this community. And when I'm sitting with my patients, I'm promoting those businesses. And they, you know, they'll laugh, they're like, oh, you know, like, are you making any money off this? I said, no, but I'm supporting a wonderful company that you should too. If you love this business, then get out there and support them. Get to that restaurant you love once a week. Even if it's only, you can only afford once a month, get there and support them. You know, if it's that tiny little specialty shop, like we just lost a really amazing gift shop here in town, you know, and it was unique. It was really cool. Like there was nothing like it and they're gone. It just didn't work. Whether, you know, it was just there was somebody who was retired and they couldn't sell the business or whatever happened. But this happens all the time. Even as, you know, even with dental practices, it's important to make sure that you're supporting your dental practice and you're telling people, hey, you know what? These guys are great. You'll love it. You can get your Invisalign there and you don't have to drive to Vernon. And, you know, like, yes, please. Like, we need you to keep us vital. And that includes every business that's here in Salmonorm. So it's my job as well to go out there and bring them business and bring them, showcase them as businesses and support them. We have to. If we want to stay this wonderful community, then we have to support each other. We can't look at each other as competition. We have to look at it like even the other dental offices are privately owned. I have more of a kinship with them than I do with the ones that I know are not privately owned. I want to support those offices. I want to keep them in business. Because the more Dental Corp takes over, or the more Walmarts take over, or the more McDonald's and Boston Pizza and all these chains take over your town, the more you're going to be thrust forward in a way that you're not wanting your town to advance. And a lot of people will move out of those communities. They don't feel that community anymore. They don't feel that, oh, this is such a cool place. There's these little cool, like little coffee shops and restaurants, and you'll lose that. So it's very important that we try to help each other.
Those are very important points. What else is there that might be a challenge to the success of a business in a town like Salmon Arm?
Well, I mean, population is one thing. I mean, in Salmon Arm, we struggle with the fact that there is a lot of, in my opinion, an oversaturation of dental clinics for the size of this population. It's, you know, sadly something that actually occurs quite a bit in the Okanagan. Kelowna is the same issue. You can have dental practices right across the street from each other. That absolutely provides a challenge. There's only so much business to go around. So that I definitely find just oversaturations of certain businesses to a very small demographic, smaller population. That's definitely a challenge. You know, is there enough business to go for all of us, right? The older practices, the ones that, you know, are working off, you know, reputations. Some of the dentists have been here forever, or like our practice, right? Dr. Gene Tim Q, he had been in Salmon Arm forever. We have a little bit of an advantage, I believe, but it's definitely even a challenge for us, right? Sometimes these corporations, which can pour all this money into these really like extravagant looking offices. And I mean, most of our offices in Salmon Arm, we're quite far behind, realistically. So there is definitely challenges to these smaller privately owned companies that are now trying to struggle and catch up with some of the newer operators that can do all these fancy bells and whistles. And some of the community of Salmon Arm, that's not ever going to be their office. They want the tried and true. They want to see, you know, the same faces and the same office, and that there's not these big, huge facelifts happening, because people associate that with their costs as well, right? So you've got this challenge of people who really want this and who really want that, and that you just kind of want to appease everyone through the middle. So it does become an issue for sure, as how quickly do we want to advance, and is this a time frame that our previous patients can handle, and is this a time frame that our new patients are okay with?
What do you see for the future of Salmon Arm?
I pray that Salmon Arm is one of these gems that can really hold on to its uniqueness and its beauty and what makes it amazing. And yet, as I said, that balance of having the old with the new, because what a lot of people in the old don't understand is that without the new, that you won't be successful. Like, you will not survive. You won't thrive. Your town won't. And it's already starting to happen in these small communities, especially in British Columbia. It's already a challenge for our youth to stay in their hometowns, let alone now having even more of these challenges happening in their smaller communities where they can't get employment, or there's just not employment opportunities that are going to be lifetime opportunities for them. And yet there's so many businesses that are struggling because we need professionals, or we need trained, skilled laborers in our area, and we just don't have them. So there's this catch 22 where you have this abundance of specific types of workers, but they just don't fit for your business plan and your business, right? And then you've got a whole influx of people sometimes that will come into the area and they're professionals and they're looking for jobs, and we're just filled up. So they just keep moving, right? So I have a lot of staff that have come on recently, and they're coming from the Vancouver area, and they love this idea of coming to this small town, and it's wonderful and it's exciting. But then they come here and they don't realize that the challenge is now finding a great office to work in, because either they'll come into the area when there's an abundance of jobs, like every office is looking for a CDA and you get picked up really quick, or everybody's staffed and we don't need anybody. So they come to these communities and they'll search and search and search, and they'll end up going into other communities and working, and then they usually get sucked into those other communities as well. Again, this is another challenge for us, because a lot of our staff, In a professional capacity, we have to worry about staff coming in from Blind Bay or Vernon
or wherever they come from, and them just one day saying, I love you guys, I love this office, but I got an offer that's closer to me. And that's all they're really waiting for, right? Is to find that great opportunity closer to home. So it's hard staying relevant and staying fresh and staying and keeping people once you have them, if they don't actually live here. So it's one or the other.
Good point. Well, thanks again, Carrie, for coming in today. Is there anything that you'd like people to know about Montebello Dental Clinic that we haven't talked about?
I would love to kind of just inform your listeners as to, you know, what we actually offer in our clinic, which is quite a bit. We are unique in the sense that we can handle a lot of different surgeries. We also do Invisalign in our clinic. So we offer implant therapy and treatment. We offer Invisalign. We actually do dentures and partial dentures right in office. We have all kinds of wonderful things, like I said, all in one shop. So we really want the community to know that we're here. We're accepting new patients. We love families. We are a family-oriented clinic, and we want to keep the youth here. We want to keep Salmon Arm alive and vital, and we'd love for you to come on down if you're looking for someone or even if you're looking for a change.
Great. Where is your practice located?
We are right downtown in the Montebello Professional Building. We are on the second floor, right across from Shuswap Pie Company.
Do you have any social media?
We absolutely do. You can look us up on Facebook, Instagram, under Montebello Dental Clinic, and you'll find us there. We offer Botox in our office. And if you watch our website and that's something you're interested in, we always throw our promotions on there. So we have, you know, deals throughout the year, specialty offers for sometimes for Invisalign. And like I said, we do host Botox parties, and the only place we can actually advertise that is on our social media. So anytime we have one of those coming up, and we'll have one of those at the end of January, you're welcome to come on down. You don't need a special invitation. We'd appreciate if you reach out to us through Facebook or through the office and just say that you're interested in coming, so we know you're coming and we can be prepared for that. That's where you can find us.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie, for coming in today. I know you're super busy, and we really appreciate the time you took to come speak with us today.
I appreciate the offer, Dave. I really do. It was great to come in and chat with you and talking about the things I love.
Great. Well, thanks again, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.